warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God.
All right, let's dispatch with the opening.
Well, not to worry, dispatch. Here's Bob.
Let's dispatch with the opening music because we've got way too much news, way too much happening. Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm Doug McBurney, the sometimes host of the Weekly Worldview. I want to apologize to all my Weekly Worldview listeners because we didn't do the show last night because, well, we had other things going on. What can I tell you? We had technical difficulties, which that covers everything. Just technical difficulties. You're not allowed to ask anything after that. But we're hoping to do a show this week. We'll keep you on pins and needles all week. Check the website every day. Check Facebook, see if we post. I want to thank Bob for allowing me to sit in. Bob is involved in research at the moment that precludes his appearance here on the broadcast. As you all well know, there have been serious and significant claims made in recent days regarding the status of Donald Trump and whether or not he is or is not the Antichrist. And so Bob Enyart has taken it upon himself to engage in a research project that has led him in directions he never expected, and therefore he couldn't do the show today as he was researching information regarding the Illuminati and the layout of Washington, D.C., and other dark, deep, dark secrets as they relate to the Masons and Donald Trump. Now, not the Masons, the friends of mine, the Masons. I mean the Masons, the Freemasons, all of those guys. So the research has led in some astonishing and astounding directions. And so Bob is not able to join you today, but, well, you can expect there will be some big news and quite possibly a huge announcement here on the broadcast any day now when Bob returns. I believe he is in the I believe he's in the secret library hidden under the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. as we speak right now, looking at the evidence as to whether or not Donald Trump may or may not be the Antichrist. And we will get back to you on that. We are a cutting-edge broadcast. We like to get out in front of things like this. And so we will all be waiting with bated breath for Bob to return. Now, if you think Donald Trump is the Antichrist, feel free to give us a call. Let me know your evidence. If you're convinced he is not and cannot be the Antichrist, feel free to give a call. Should I give the number? I don't even want to give the number. If you don't, well, if maybe the person right now who thinks Donald Trump is or is not the Antichrist, maybe he doesn't know the number. And so I should give the number. It's 800-836-9278. That's 800-8-ENYART. 800-836-9278 if you want to discuss the status of, well, various politicians as they relate to the Antichrist or even other things. We could start in Las Vegas if you'd like, although I would advise you start somewhere else. Yes, there's a massive outbreak of syphilis that has occurred in Las Vegas. CBS News is reporting, shockingly, syphilis is on the rise in Las Vegas, if you can believe that. Now, health officials in Nevada, they have some ideas as to what's going on. Why is it that there's such an enormous increase in the reports of syphilis at local hospitals? People coming in, stumbling in, getting tested, finding out they have syphilis. Health officials in Nevada say it's part of a national spike in syphilis cases. They say it's related to, well, number one, well, you know, we have increased testing. There's that. Also, the social media. Yes, those they're not websites anymore. They're apps now on your phone where you can, you can push a button and I don't even want to get into it. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Apps that basically help deviants connect with one another. That's number two. They say there's a rise in anonymous sex tied to social media. And, well, they have a number of other reasons that they get into, but never once do they blame rampant promiscuity, which you would think they would recognize immediately as the number one cause an increase in the rate of syphilis in Las Vegas and other countries. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was with another salesman, young guy, 24 years old. He said he just got a new girlfriend. So he went and got a VD screening. An STD screening. That's what he called it. Nobody calls it VD anymore. That's pejorative. You can't be pejorative about anything anybody does anymore. It's just a sexually transmitted disease. Hey, it was transmitted. What can we say? Don't say anything. Not that there's anything wrong with that. The fact that you're promiscuous. Anyway, he said he got an STD screening, and he wasn't sure about the etiquette of introducing the fact to his new girlfriend that he passed all of his tests. By the way, of which syphilis is not one. I just learned from this article. Syphilis is not a part of the standard bundle of STD tests found through urine screening. You have to test the blood to catch syphilis. So anyway, my 24-year-old business associate, he was asking me, what is the etiquette? I said, I have no idea what the etiquette is to tell your girlfriend that you passed your VD test. Is there an etiquette for that now? Well, apparently there is, amongst the millennials and whatnot. So anyway, in Vegas, let's go back to Vegas. So folks, what happens in Vegas, it doesn't stay in Vegas if you leave Vegas with syphilis. I'm just pointing that out. They had a 128% increase in syphilis cases since 2012. Let's see, they say youth are having sex at younger ages, and almost all of the new cases involve men having sex with men. All right, so it's homos again. All of that, which promiscuity, all of that, right? But nobody wants to say that anymore. Nobody wants to blame promiscuity. They want to blame Grindr and Tinder. That's the problem. All right, so don't go to Vegas. Or if you do go to Vegas, realize that what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas. Were you aware that there's a procedure now with the new girlfriend to, I guess you have to exchange paperwork. It's like having a fender bender. You exchange paperwork, make sure neither one of you is, you know, positive for anything really serious. And from there, I guess the relationship can proceed. And what a fine place to start. Knowing that you're both a couple of sluts who have just been fortunate enough not to contract any serious venereal diseases that were not able to be cured by an injection or a pill of some kind. I guess. All right, let's go. What's that? Do we have an update on the status of the Antichrist? Oh, I see. That's the bat phone. So there's information coming into the studio right now, but it's highly classified. I'm not able to disclose it on the air, but it is coming from the undisclosed location somewhere underneath the Thomas Jefferson Memorial there in Washington, D.C., where there is a secret library above the seven pillars and the unfinished pyramid with the all-seeing eye there. But we will update you as soon as we're allowed. It has to make it through Hillary Clinton's server first because it is classified. We try to send all of our classified information via Hillary Clinton's unsecured server. Let's see here. What else do we have? Do I want to do the scientific paper or... Yeah, let's do the scientific paper because everything else in the news, it's either disgusting or mostly disgusting. Disgusting, disgusting, horrifying, scary, creepy, weird, negative, bad. All right, I have one positive story and even it has a negative slant. I'm becoming a bit of a pessimist, I think. Let's go to the plus one, which is peer-reviewed journal, PLOS1. Do we know what that stands for? I'm sure Bob would know if he was here. This is a scientific journal. A paper has been published in the plus one journal, PLOS1. The paper is titled Biomechanical Characteristics of Hand Coordination in Grasping Activities of Daily Living. Now, I was out of town on... Bob hasn't reported on this, has he? I hope not. This is breaking news. Did you catch the title of the paper? These scientists, they're very creative. Biomechanical Characteristics of Hand Coordination in Grasping Activities of Daily Living. That's the title of the paper. It was written by a team of four researchers, three from a university in China, and one from a university in Massachusetts. It was published in the Plus One Journal. It looked at the mechanics of how we grasp things with our hands. And in the opening sentence of the study, as published, it claims the link between muscles and hand movements is, quote, the product of proper design by the creator, unquote. This is in a secular scientific journal. Later on in the paper, the ever-popular biomechanical characteristics of hand coordination and grasping activities of daily living. Later it says that human hand coordination, quote, should indicate the mystery of the creator's invention. And the paper concludes by claiming the mechanical architecture of the hand is the result, again, of proper design by the creator. So naturally, as you can well imagine, references to a creator in a reputable journal have freaked out everybody who reads the Plus One Journal. It stoked anger in the scientific community, according to this article from The Independent in the United Kingdom. Yes, the angers are being stoked. Many people, including researchers who work as editors for the publication, are calling for this paper to be retracted. Now, I don't know that they reviewed any of the data or any of the other ideas. They saw mention of the creator, and they could read no further. They just started gritting their teeth, closing their eyes, shaking their fists, and just generally freaking out. Now, the paper's authors, as soon as they heard that they freaked everybody out, they immediately apologized. They said, this is obviously a mistake. We're so sorry. And they say that the references to the creator were translation errors, no doubt from the Chinese researchers who contributed to the paper. They say it was just translation errors. But the article, at least last we checked, the article has not been pulled and has not been retracted. Some scientists say the journal should be boycotted unless amends are made. Oh, we have to boycott it. Plus One, management there says that they are looking into the concerns and will take steps to correct the published article. So they're going to take steps to correct it. So they're going to, how are they going to correct the article? Are they going to have other researchers assert that the nearly miraculous functionality of the human hand somehow evolved by accident from nothing? That would be their correction. Instead of the obvious fact that the amazing human hand was in fact designed by the creator, and I agree, it was a proper design, at least as far as I know. It works fairly well for me. Maybe if you're driving in your car, maybe you don't do this, but if you're in your office or something, just take a look at your hand and wiggle your fingers around. Now pick up a pen, right? Pick up a pencil, pick up a bottle of water. It's pretty amazing the way it works. So I'm with the researchers who wrote the paper, myself. I don't feel I am qualified to object to any of the assertions or conclusions in the popular paper, Biomechanical Characteristics of Hand Coordination and Grasping Activities of Daily Living, as published in the PLOS One Journal. So there we have that. So that's the last of the good news. And even the good news, like I said, it has good news freaks out people in the scientific community. The good news is there's four researchers out there who took a look at the human hand and realized, wow, this is pretty amazing. Somebody must have been behind the design here. It's pretty amazing. That's the good news. Bad news, everybody's freaked out. So we'll have to follow that story closely. So why don't you go there, I said, to my crack research staff. Go to PLOS1, Google that up, and see if the paper still exists. Here, I'll put the title up here in the window. Oh, you already remember the title? Biomechanical Characteristics of Hand Coordination and Grasping Activities of Daily Living. I want you to search that and see if that paper is still up. There, I stuck it to the window for our crack research staff. I'm holding it against the window with my miraculously designed human hand so that my crack research team can Google that up and see if the paper's been pulled. My guess is you're going to see article after article after article condemning the authors, and you'll have to dig 8 pages into Google to find the actual, because there's a lot of noise, I'm sure, around all of that. Let's see. Do we want to go to, I really don't want to do this story because, let's go to Vince Foster. Do you folks remember Vince Foster? I'm dating myself. And if you remember Vince Foster, you're dating yourself. I mean, not in the sense of my friend and his girlfriend and their test or anything, just that you're dating yourself, that you're probably over 40, if you remember Vince Foster. Do you remember? Vince Foster was found in Fort Marcy Park, dead. Let's see, WorldNet Daily reports that he was a close friend and former law partner of Hillary Clinton. He was discovered on July 20th, 1993, lying in Fort Marcy Park with a fatal gunshot wound. Well, WorldNet Daily reports, now I'm afraid to do this story because I was almost taken in by the O.J. Simpson knife hoax. So I'm at a hotel in a large city laid out by the Masons with the whole pentagram and everything. If you're into conspiracy theories, you already know where I was. Anyway, I'm in that city, and I was coming into the hotel as there was a snowstorm. I entered the hotel, and as I'm shaking the wet off my hat, preparing, waiting for the elevator, I see across the lobby in the bar where the TV is on, and CNN has a giant banner running across the bottom of the screen, knife found at OJ Estate. And they had pictures of bulldozers, and I said, what's happened? Have they found OJ's knife? And then, ding, my elevator came. And then I went up to the room where there were a number of my business associates, and we had to work. And then it turns out that it was all a hoax. So perhaps this is. Anyway, we'll see. I'm just reporting what WorldNet Daily is claiming. Newly discovered evidence unearthed from boxes stored deep in the National Archives lend credence to theories about foul play and a cover-up as it relates to the untimely death of Vince Foster. WorldNet Daily reports that what had only been suspicions about missing death scene photographs are now listed as facts in public documents. They say there are 2 documents, a two-page letter of resignation, and a 31-page memo written by Ken Starr's lead prosecutor, Miguel Rodriguez. He resigned. Rodriguez refers in his letter to photographs showing a wound on Foster's neck, a wound that did not exist, according to accounts in Ken Starr's official government report. Here we go. Let's see. My crack research staff. We'll get back to Mr. Rodriguez in just a moment. James McInerney tweeted, plus one is now a joke. Proper design of the creator. Absolute joke of a journal. See, I told you you'd find people. All my crack research staff can find is so-called scientists freaking out that someone mentioned the possibility that there could be an intelligent designer behind the human hand. And they say that's a joke. It shows you how upside down the world is, that you could look at something as fantastic as the human hand and assume that it evolved accidentally from nothing if you go back far enough. That sounds like a joke to me. If I were to look at something as sophisticated as human physiology, I would assume, well, there's got to be some intelligent designer behind that. And, of course, you know, here at Bob and Yart Live, we advocate that the human hand was designed by the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Just not to put too fine a point on it. I don't want to freak anybody out or make you think that I'm biased in one direction or another. But that's our official position here. Now, as to Donald Trump being the Antichrist, we have not yet taken an official position. But I can assure you we are working on it. But as far as the design of the human hand, we think that one's settled. No question. And as to Vince Foster, well, I honestly don't know. I know he didn't die in the park. That was pretty obvious at the time because his shoes were clean. I remember that distinctly. The shoes were clean. And And he was a little too stiff, you know. Anyway, so Vince Foster, let's see here. So Mr. Miguel Rodriguez resigned because he said there was a wound that did not make it into the final report. The obvious question, WorldNet Daily asks, how could a suicide victim be found with two wounds? Well, just ask Hillary Clinton. She'll explain. She can explain that whole thing. They say he had a .38 caliber gunshot wound in the mouth that exited through his head, and another wound on the right side of his neck that one of the paramedics who found his body, who weren't involved in the cover-up, they described a small caliber bullet hole in the right side of his neck. That's one magic bullet to go through the mouth, up out the top of the head, make a right angle in midair, mind you, and pierce the neck. All right. So Hillary Clinton is living proof that there is a certain class in America that can literally get away with murder. And so there, that's really all there is to that. And good luck to the folks at WorldNet Daily. I'm sure they've got a book. That's probably where the story. I only copied the first page. It was like a 6-page story. And I think they start plugging a book somewhere down. But I've always been very suspicious of Vince Foster. And I've had my suspicions about Hillary Clinton, as you well know, I'm sure, if you've paid attention over the years. Anyway, the breaking news is that Vince Foster is still dead. Let's move on. John Podesta, who's the chairman of Hillary Clinton's doomed presidential campaign, says now there are serious questions about the integrity of the State Department Office of Inspector General who is looking into Hillary's emails. Shocking that John Podesta, chairman of the Hillary Clinton campaign, would say that he doesn't trust the Office of Inspector General who is investigating Hillary Clinton. Did I mention he's the chairman of her presidential campaign? Let that one sink in for a second. Let's see. He says he's upset that they've subpoenaed the Clinton Foundation. That's really out of bounds. They are investigating Clinton's aide, Huma Abedin, Muslim Sisterhood. They're investigating her work as a special government consultant while she worked at state. Well, lots of government people's girlfriends get jobs as special government consultants. Why should Hillary's girlfriend be any different? A source within the office of the inspector general contacted thehill.com, which is where I got this story, claiming that the office has grown increasingly partisan. Now, the Clinton campaign says it does not know the identity of the source. Well, can I take a guess at who the source is? I'm going to guess it's John Podesta with a sock over the phone.
Well, this investigation has gotten awfully partisan. They're looking into Huma Abedin. This is very unfair.
That's who the source is at the State Department. All right. No, that's, I'm sorry, at the Office of the Inspector General. Yes. Podesta says it's a whistleblower who's trying to expose the extremely unfair tactics of any investigator who would try to find anything as offensive as the facts behind anything involving Hillary Clinton. That's not fair to look for facts when it comes to Hillary Clinton. She's there. Yeah, did I maintain my prediction that Hillary Clinton will not be the Democrat nominee? I'm going to go down with the ship on that one because it's not looking good for my prediction. And I really hate it when my predictions don't come true. But I thought that the Democrat Party had not yet sunk to a level that they would nominate someone so devoid of morality and wisdom as Hillary Clinton. But apparently, they are on the verge of doing just that. At least it's getting closer and it's looking more imminent. Are you kidding me? We only have 4 more minutes? This show is definitely too short. All right, socialized medicine, supported at one time by the Antichrist and now not. Well, no, we don't know that Trump is the Antichrist. I apologize. A little Freudian slip there. Donald Trump said he supported single-payer health care until he realized he had to bamboozle Republicans. Now he says, well, maybe I don't. I do want to help people. I want to make sure nobody dies in the streets. Well, here's what single-payer national health care leads to. England's National Health Service says that women whose babies develop fatal defects in the early stages of pregnancy will now be given advice on going ahead with the birth instead of having an abortion. Sounds like good news, right? But the reason is so that the National Health Service can harvest the organs of the babies. You see, the problem in England is that most expectant mothers now opt for an abortion after being told that their baby is sick, which tells you how sick the world is. If you tell a mother she has a sick child, she opts to kill that child. Surely the wrath of God cannot be restrained much longer against the people who dwell on the earth and harm his children. Well, now the NHS wants to harvest the organs because they have a chronic shortage of donated organs. So now they want to support the mothers to have the baby at 9 months so that then they can kill the child and harvest the child's vital organs. The proposal, shockingly enough, has sparked an ethical debate in England. That's good news that England is still capable of an ethical debate. I guess you have to try to see the good in everything. Transplant surgeon Naiz Ahmad of St. James University Hospital in Leeds says, quote, "We are looking at rolling it out as a viable source of organ transplantation nationally. These mothers, they're not aware, but they need to be made aware. These organs can be transplanted." So there you have that. All right, let's see. I don't know. What do I end the show with? I should probably just end it there. That was a pretty good Indian accent. You know, go out on something good. Don't try any further. Reason number 1036 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Four students in Payette, Idaho, have allegedly torched the home of their principal. Yeah, two high schoolers, one middle school student, all under 18. One thing that is not alleged is that a fire indeed consumed the home of Principal Mark Heliker in the early morning hours of February 22nd. Heliker, his wife, and their daughter escaped with their lives, their pets, and just a few personal mementos. The house and three cars in the driveway were destroyed by the fire. There are over 400 students at Payette High School. Investigators followed the trail on and off social media until they figured out the high school students who were posting about it. And just to show you how high school students these days do not understand economics, Payette High School students created a GoFundMe account for the principal's family with a goal of raising $2,000. At which point, someone needs to tell these high school kids his house and three cars were destroyed. I don't know that $2,000, maybe $300,000, kids. Maybe we should sit down and we should revisit fundamental mathematics with you kids. Not to mention the fact that apparently 1 out of 100 of you in the school are arsonists. We need to revisit that too. You know what I think this calls for? It calls for an ethical debate, obviously. No, this calls for you to get or keep your children out of the government schools so they don't become mathematically illiterate arsonists. And that's it. We'll hear from Bob tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Doug McBurney, as Bob would do, reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.